Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. So first off, our downloads page, including almost all content from our Japan Real Estate Summit in Tokyo last Sunday, is almost ready. Thank you for your patience. Hope to have that live for you by the end of this week. Bear with me. Now for today's episode, this is a conversation with part of our JREP crew, just Blanca, Emil, and myself this time around. And we talk a bit about our clients and more specifically how we deal with ambiguity when working with clients. So things like changing or moving goalposts, different perspectives that some of them have between themselves, particularly when it comes to a couple, spouses and so on, and especially mixed Japanese and non-Japanese couples. People who make more or less emotional and more or less logical decisions when it comes to both purchases and renovations, which then led us to a chat about how to work out the right mortgage loan for your own personal circumstances, how to make a logical choice on that, calculating the right type of loan and amount to be borrowed based on your financial situation. And then we go down the fun little rabbit hole of what exactly to put into a home when designing it from scratch, either for a new build or for a major renovation project. Cool home and office features that can be included when you do this kind of work. The differences between renovating a property to live in as opposed to a rental or investment property. And also about the considerations that come into play when you're trying to decide between building a new home as opposed to purchasing a secondhand one. So a really fun conversation, I thought. Enjoy it, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Connecting.
All right. Japan Real Estate Experts panel, partly back in session. And we were just talking about clients. We'll leave it to the more polite part of the conversation. But Blanca was asking about a call that we had last night. And that was kind of a good illustration of what Emil and I were talking about before. So it's really not, we're obviously all in this business because we like serving clients. We enjoy getting a good solution and a good project and a good result for them, but they can be challenging sometimes, or it can be challenging for us to deliver the good result that people are expecting if the goalposts keep moving around. So that's yeah. Just what we were discussing right now, a call that we had last night where people are, and this happens a lot, even with couples, but definitely with friends or brothers or people who are not as closely knit as spouses, where during the conversation, people find out that they actually have differing goals or at least slightly differing goals. Has that happened to anyone else or is it just a me thing?
We have that all the time when it comes to...
Oh, you service couples mostly, both
all
of you, don't
with
you?
Couples, because the wife wants something, the husband is going different way, and then you know, because the wives usually they want everything and the husband goes economical. The husbands are usually the one that think more practical and think about the cost.
Really, we're exactly the other way around. Actually, I'm the one, let's put this here and put this here, and Chica
in our
me
family
down to
me. That's me. The other way around, when we were doing our bathroom, I had about 2.5 to 3 million budget for the bathroom. And when I brought in my husband and David into the conversation, we end up on double. I told them I'm not taking them anywhere anymore. when it comes to the house.
It's a lot worse than get me an ice cream at McDonald's.
Yes.
Well, Blanca, when I spoke to your husband, he brought up the bathroom and rolled his eyes back about how much you went over budget.
Yes, because you know what? Because it started with, okay, I just wanted a simple bathroom because everything else in the house was done, but the bathroom was the bathroom we bought it with. And we were kind of pushing the reno back. So I just wanted a simple, first I wanted a tiled bathroom. But when I had the guys here for the tile bathroom, the problem was from unit to tile, while you are living, about 2 weeks for it to dry up and do the insulations and everything, because, you know, it was not prepped at all, then for the tiles to dry and everything. So altogether, we would be without a bathroom for about a month. And we only have one shower in the house. And the house that we just built was not finished, was like not officially finished. So we could not use the bathroom there because the company didn't hand it over to us. So we had to drive to our other apartment that it's like, you know, 10 minutes to 15 minutes drive from here twice a day to shower. Right. And, you know, we are the family. We shower all the time. So, you know,
more like 5 days, five times a day if it's summer in Japan.
But this one was luckily this was winter. So we were OK with doing it twice. Right. But
Blanca, I think this is just a you problem. Your husband and your son probably just didn't really care.
No, they do. My husband showers more than anybody else in the world. Trust me.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Like, I do not know a man that it's cleaner than my husband. Like, he showers all the time.
He's a very sharp-looking man. So
David gets up, and literally when he gets up, first thing in the morning, he goes in the shower. Listen, we are very particular about this. So we didn't do tile for this reason, for the time reason. And so then when it came to what we want and what we don't want, you know, you come to the showroom and then you see the different levels. And then they saw that top level, you know, the beautiful, you know, the panels that are actually ceramic, they are not plastic.
The corner span.
You know, and then it's the rain shower. Then there's the massage, different, like that go and massage your shoulders if you sit down. And then if you are sitting in the bath, you have a massage here, massage there. And my husband goes like, well, if we are already doing it, we might as well.
Famous last words.
That's
famous
me.
Famous last words. And then David was like, oh, are we getting a TV? And I'm like, why do you need a TV in the bath?
Oh, those.
And he's like, oh, no, mama, I want the bath. I want a TV in the bath. So we have a TV in the bathroom.
Oh, so you caved in. Okay.
You got sucker for that.
I was at that point, I was like, you know what? Whatever. So you can change lights, you know, to like five different colors, music, TV.
We're just doing the same thing with the office now. We're kind of thinking about moving to a home where the ground floor could be the office and we could live on the top floor kind of thing. And when we're going through, so the top floors are kind of like normal, what you'd normally do, but the bottom floors is, oh, actually you do that too. So we're thinking commercial. And then the renovation lady says, well, here we could have a modular desk just come out of the wall, kind of, and open up near the, we could do that.
It's down the rabbit hole. It's down the rabbit hole when you do anything. So, and this was us, right? And at that point I was like, whatever. I said, honey, you know what? At the end of the day, you're the one paying for it. So whatever you want, right? So we got that. We did not get the vanity I was hoping to get, because they did not. The salesman was basically set on selling us Lixil. And I didn't know that Toto at that point had the upper vessels and stuff. And, you know, at that point, I didn't really know what's on the market. So
do you do as a provider? I mean, if there's a couple in the same situation, if you're discussing
the scope
of a project.
You know what? Trying to compromise. You always have to figure out how reasonable the husband or the one paying for it, how reasonable that person is, how far they are willing to go to make the other part happy while being happy.
You're treading dangerous ground, and
I just
go like, you know what, you guys go back to the drawing board and let's have this conversation next week.
No, you know what, because both sides are equally important, right? I always tell them, whoever is going to spend the most time at that specific room should kind of have a bigger saying. So, you know, like I always tell the wives, if you are the one cooking, then make the decisions. You should, you should kind of, you know, have a word of saying and knowing what you need and what you don't need when it comes to your kitchen, because you are the one there. And if it's a game room, then the boys know better, right? So, I mean, those are things, those are just simple things, but you know, usually, you know, the guys are more kind of laid back and they go, yeah, whatever. And more curious maybe about like having their own crib. We have a customer now that, you know, we are doing their whole apartment, but we are building one room for him. And because he's a guitar player, so he's like, yeah, but I don't want to bother the neighbors and everything. So we are completely soundproofing it for him and everything, just so he has that one room for himself, for his computers and his guitar and everything. And that makes him happy.
How does it go with you, Emil? Do you have like, you know, one person in the couple or in the family wants to buy a more expensive house, the other one prefers to make it more? What do you do in these cases?
So almost always it's the Japanese side that is concerned about the debt, like overspending, or not even overspending, but just spending more than what they think is reasonable. The problem is, what they think is reasonable is sometimes it's arrived to arbitrarily. So, for example, you know, if I look at their finances, it's okay, the bank will loan you 100 million yen. And sometimes, often the Japanese say, oh, we don't want to borrow that much, without any thought about what it even means. Oh, we only want to spend 60 million, 70 million. Well, what? Where did you arrive at that number? You haven't really started looking. You have no idea about what the repayments even look like. You have no idea what mortgage looks like, what you can get for that price. And you've just come up with a number. So generally, we have different ways of figuring out the budget. The simple one is like, or the two main methods are, how much, what's your upper limit of budget? And that is, how much will the bank loan you, plus any cash savings you have to contribute to the purchase? That's obviously the upper end. And then the other way to look at it is, how much are you willing to, or how much are you comfortable repaying monthly?
Yeah.
And let's say the bank will give you 100 million yen. That's a monthly repayment of 270,000 yen a month. If you turn around and say, well, actually, I only want to spend 200,000 yen a month, then we look, okay, what kind of loan brings you to 200,000 yen a month? And that's more like, you know, about 70 million yen, right? So, okay, if that's how much you want to spend, then 70 million yen is the right number. But just to arbitrarily come up with a figure doesn't, when you're not familiar with financing, you're not familiar with loan repayments, and you're not familiar with what a house even actually costs, is common. And usually it's the Japanese side, that be it the husband or wife, but often my clients tend to be foreign husbands with a Japanese spouse. It's a Japanese spouse that is hesitant. And then also it's the Japanese spouse tends to feel that debt is bad. Let's contribute as much money as possible into the loan. Let's put as much of our cash into the property so we can get as low debt as possible and minimize the monthly repayments. Which I also kind of
had this conversation with Chikako actually, and I was quoting you in it. Just think about, yeah, borrowing less means you're saving that 0.7% on the debt every year. Think about what that money, if you would have not had to put it into the loan, what it could have gotten you in investment yields.
Yeah.
So with her, it's easy because we're both constantly investing together. She figures it out, but it's a very difficult pill to swallow for a lot of people who just not used to think that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much the emotional approach to numbers. So that's why my first thing I say, you know, I'll repeat it in case people haven't heard the previous podcast, didn't even remember I mentioned it, but my common line is, you know, what you, by putting money down into your loan or prepaying early, it's the same as putting those funds into a 35-year fixed-term investment at 0.5% or 0.7%, and you can never touch it again. Do you feel that's a good investment?
Yeah.
Obviously, no.
No.
So by you paying some extra deposit or down payment or prepaying the loan early, that's exactly what you are doing. And there's zero benefit. Yeah. And in fact, is I think there's also a disservice. The home mortgages in Japan include a life insurance policy. So if you die, the loan is basically wiped off to zero. Yeah. And your spouse or whoever your heir is gets the inheritance debt-free.
Yeah.
So the more you prepay, the more you're losing that insurance policy unnecessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
But it's the low rate. I think it's the low rate of the loans in Japan that people do not take into consideration.
Yeah.
Because it's I always say it's a free money because it's like,
oh, yes,
you know, but in other
countries, it's free.
Yeah.
0.5%. You know,
I mean, 0.5, it's nothing. In other countries, you are looking at 4, 6, 8, even more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My Australian mortgages now are up to like 6.5. And because Australia's been going up and up and up every few months. So every few weeks, I get an email saying, oh, new rate rise.
Yeah.
But just to put that in perspective, right? When, you know, I'm Australian, and when we have about 5 or 6% interest rates over the life of the loan, which is 30 to 35 years, you basically pay back double the property value in interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you get $1 million property, 30 years later, you've paid off $2 million to the bank. $1 million is for the property, $1 million is interest. When you have 0.5, 0.7% interest rates, it's more like it's a bit under 15%.
Yeah, 15-20, so, worst case, even if it's high. Yeah.
So in general, like my clients that are about, you know, 0.6, 0.7%, it ends up being about 14.5% of the value of the property. So if they borrow 100 million yen, after 35 years, they've paid about 14 million yen of interest. So they borrow 100 million, they pay back 114 million. And that really does feel like free money.
Yeah.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in, fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
Yeah,
over a 35-year loan term.
And we've had this conversation with my husband a few years back when, you know, he had some basically extra cash that he was like, oh, just let me put it into the mortgage. You know, maybe we can like lessen the monthly payments, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, but that's kind of, it's counterproductive. So instead of that, we built a house, a rental property in our land.
The money to work. Yeah.
And put the money to work. Mm. And basically, we will get the whole investment back in rent in less than 10 years or in plus minus 10 years and still have the property.
Yep.
So it was just far better. And you know, because when you think like a European person, or like my husband does not, like he doesn't like that, right? He's like, no, I like living debt free. But when you have the conversation about, well, but the loan is, I think we have like 0.4, we have some extremely low, really, really low mortgage. So it, there's no point of doing that.
Can I jump back to the start of the conversation? I think we touched on a really interesting point, and I want to explore that, which I feel is a bit exciting. It's about the, you know, when you're talking about your bathroom, Blanca, what are some what are the features or the upgrades that you think are necessary? So, you know, I've gone through, this is my second house now that we've built.
Necessary is a sensitive word there.
Worth it. What do you think is worth it, or what do you wish you had done, or wish you hadn't done?
We did the rain shower because Kings really wanted the rain shower.
That's on my list of to-dos.
Yeah.
I don't have it. I'm going to install it. Yeah. I've got a list of things I need for the house.
Most of my male clients, that's what they request for. They want a male shower. They want the rain shower for themselves. Women don't really use it, but the guys, they do. Mm-hmm. Right? So the rain shower, that one's really good. Right now, what's really, and I, that's like still on my kind of list, I want to redo my kitchen. And a nice island. You know, at the time, nice kitchen island. I think at the time when, you know, a few years back, the islands were still not that popular. But now, that's really thing. So a kitchen island. And the next on our list is a proper walk-in closet. Like with whole, with the lights and everything, you know, I mean, like, literally, you know, everything like pulling out. And so, yeah. Really, really good walk-in closet with aircon. So you can, you know, even like with the shoes and stuff, so you can keep your humidity out. So really putting in for that. That's actually a very near future.
That feels like a very separate room.
Yeah, it is. We have two separate. My husband has his own. I have my own. But, you know, we just kind of build it from parts. But looking at it, I saw one really, really nice walk-in closet at the clients that we are doing for the clients. And it's just so good that I'm actually going to get it from their designer because they got it themselves through their own supplier and maker. And we are just putting it together for them. And it looks really gorgeous. So, a customized, really customized walk-in closet for all the little things that you personally need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fitted for you because once you have that in your own space, I think, like, you know, it nicely organized, it makes a huge sense.
Bathroom
was really important. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Ziv, how about yourself? What are your
must-haves or features in a home? For me,
Little features or specific upgrades.
The outdoor area for entertainment, that's the big one for me.
Yeah,
we did that too. Have comfortable deck, a place to put a barbecue, a place to open up a stretch pool for the kids, and a lot of greenery, like as far as the eye can see, it's Japan, so it's not going to be like...
But that's me and you, because we have, like, I have the space outside as well, but most people don't.
Yeah, so for me, I Yeah, so for me, I don't, but I did extend my balcony about an extra meter. So I have
you got the little roof space. Thing where you often talk to us from, right?
Yeah, the roof deck, yeah, with the barbecue there. And that's enough for six people to sit around the table. So and we have a family of five, so often that's enough for us. Plus, if a grandparent comes, that's good. But in terms of the little features for me, and because I live in Seta Gaya, so we don't have the size to just make an extra room equivalent for a walk-in wardrobe or have a big deck outside. But for me, the little features that I really appreciate in my house, I like things that make my life easier, automation, electricity, or automatic type stuff. So for me, the taps in my house, all the taps, the faucets are sensor.
Okay.
So, and basically that's, so we have the ones in the toilet, the ones in the bath, the vanity unit, the bathroom, and the kitchen sink is the all like electric one. You don't have to touch it. And especially with kids, I find that, you know, just washing their hands, that just makes it so easy. And I came here when we had our second kid and the third one was born when we were in this house. So just them growing up, it's hard for them to even reach the tap, let alone, you know, to wash it. So that was good. And even the soap dispensers are all automatic.
The soap foam
dispensers. So for me, that's one. And then in the kitchen, because I do enjoy sort of cooking, I have a proper full-size oven. Like,
where did German you buy yours? Oven.
I bought it. Mine's a Gaggenau oven, but I bought it on. There was like on Yahoo. If you search for display models or X display, like Tenjihin, sometimes there are like display kitchens that sell items or those. So I got it for a fraction of the price. I think they're about 700,000 yen.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I got it for like just a small fraction of that. Fortunately,
we should call this episode Gaijin Perks, because everything we've just mentioned, rain shower, outdoor space, full-sized oven, a Japanese person would never think about getting that in a house, would they?
Yeah, well, the oven, no, the full-size dishwasher, or the Western, the front open dishwasher well is essential. The little pull-out ones, the Japanese ones, they don't even fit our plates. the large 26-centimeter plates will just bang on the top.
True then.
Yeah,
kitchen is I'm just kind of redoing part of the kitchen now, or planning to do that. And so because like I have so many appliances.
Oh yes.
That I'm using basically daily, like my coffee, like my espresso machine, and you know, my blender and my food processor and a kettle.
An air fryer, and then
vacuum sealer. Air fryer. I don't have air fryer.
Because there's no space. If you had just an empty space, if you had a Western style, like size house, it would be like,
pantry. Because that's what I want. Add that to the list. I need a pantry in my next house. We're working on it now.
Yeah.
I just want to walk into somewhere and just take stuff from a shelf rather than open doors and drawers. Yeah.
Pantry is a great thing. I would have to cancel my downstairs bathroom, though, like my, you know, toilet. Oh. And that would not be good.
Toilets, for me, the essential feature of a toilet, the electric seat opening and closing. Like, again, automation, like, what is this? I have to go and manually lift up a seat and close a seat every single time.
He keeps scolding me about having old phones.
Yeah. The phones is different for me. The toilet in the house, I'm not that bothered about, because like the nail rest is getting 500,000 yen for the toilet. So I'm not sure if, you know, I don't know if that's worth it for me. But the oven, because I bake a lot. So yeah, oven, gadgets. That's why I want a new kitchen island.
We just got Ori a new bed, and it comes with a USB connector on the side. I've never seen it. Unbelievable.
Yes. But already before, the Nitori beds, at least the Nitori beds, they all had a socket.
Yes, my one does.
Yeah. So it's good that they do USB, although right now most of the things don't even have USB, but it's
USB-C.
Yes.
Yeah. So like on that, So my brother is staying with me. So I've got a list of all the stuff in the house, because he's a very handy person. Mm-hmm. Right. So all of my wish list of items I want to do in the house, I've sort of written on a little whiteboard and we're going through it. So we installed some curtain rails and what have you. But one of the items is all in the kitchen and the living room. We've got a bunch of outlets that have USB-A output, the 5-volt ones, but now they're very slow for current devices. They're Panasonic ones. So on the list of items is to replace them to USB-C.
Yeah.
And again, with Panasonic, we just changed the model because slow charging is so 1990s.
In Africa, all our houses have sockets that basically have like kind of multi-functional socket.
Oh, like a multi-adapter. That's cool.
Yeah, like a multi-adapter plus USB.
Very cool.
Yeah. And it's, you know, of course, it's more expensive than the normal one, but they are selling it there. And I was like wondering, I was asking my guys, I said, why you guys don't have those in Japan? They're like.
Oh, well, so if you jump on like Amazon or eBay, you can get those kind of sockets. Yeah. But the problem is, well, not the problem, the way it works in Japan, and I think, you know, Blanca, you'll be very familiar with this. A lot of the construction, a lot of the devices that they use are like Panasonic or Lixil or you know Toto, and so for electrical stuff it's very common to have Panasonic brand switches or one of the Japanese manufacturer of switches and outlets. So every outlet and power point and connection in my house is a Panasonic branded unit. All the outlets are Panasonic modules, so I feel that because Panasonic doesn't have those options, they don't use it. And Panasonic will never release something like that. That's kind of like a third-party Chinese manufacturer. And I don't feel a home builder is going to feel very comfortable making that.
Yeah, not a Japanese home builder for sure.
It's no, because it's difficult, because usually when you order it from somewhere else, it doesn't come with a warranty. So, like... One of my
clients, they have to include it in the house warranty because they have to give it, right?
Yep, exactly. So when I'm doing electricity and like doing different kind of downlines and stuff for clients, it comes with a warranty. All right. But we are doing one house now where the clients want something else. And because he goes to Hong Kong a lot, he is actually bringing his own tape light. Because there's a lot of tape light in the new house, so he's bringing his own. I had to put in the agreement that he takes the warranty on himself. Mm. So if anything happens, we are not responsible for it.
So, sorry, Blank. Well, you said a tape light.
Yeah, like you know what?
Like a rail, a metal rail, and you clips.
Yeah, but no, this one is literally like a tape, and so it's hidden like. Behind a furniture or under furniture, and it creates the aura.
Oh, yeah, the LED. Like
beautiful.
Yes,
LED strip lighting. LED strip lighting. Yes.
So we are getting this because there's a lot of the things we are doing. The ceiling for him, that it kind of has a little bit of a cassette on the top. So then inside goes the light. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, but you know, it takes a lot of light, and the it came to several thousands of dollars just to buy it here. And so he's like, yeah, but I'm in Hong Kong all the time, so you know, it costs zero nothing. And he's right, but I cannot take the warranty on me.
Yeah, the same thing happened with my oven. Because we have a Panasonic kitchen, and so Panasonic only works with Panasonic ovens and Panasonic stovetops. They won't warranty something different, non-standard in there. So, when we installed it, we said, okay, like just leave it empty space. We removed whatever cupboard came in that slot under where the oven would go. And we said, okay, we'll just remove that. And it's a aftermarket installation. It has nothing to do with Panasonic. And if any damage happens to the surrounding cupboards because of that oven placement, then there's no warranty because of that.
True. That's how it is. Cool. Yeah.
Talking to the two of you with your gorgeous renovations and exciting gadgets can be a very expensive exercise. I should limit myself.
You know, there is a difference when if you are doing your primary residence, or if you are doing like your, you know, weekend house, or you know, somewhere you go twice a year. It's a rental property. Those are very, very different conversations to be had, because if it's your primary property, primary residence, then you want to spend more money on it and, you know, take more care, because that's where you are every day. And if it's your weekend house, then you can kind of, you know, compromise on the quality, because you know you want the value kind of, you know, be worth it.
If I have to lift my toilet seat every day, oh my god.
Oh,
the humanity.
All right, Blanca, we had to let you go in 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to run. I have to go back to the office.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we can wrap it up there.
This was a fun conversation.
We'll see you guys soon again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. Pretty fun chat, for us at least. Hope it brought you some value as well. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.